Jalen Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What? Doe.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together, we are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, every once in a while, I have the pinch myself moments. And I had one when we were on the Zoom interviewing none other than Inspector Deck.
No doubt.
Rebel INS. His no verses on Cold World, Triumph.
Cold World.
He's just such a great lyricist. And he's got so many bars, and it was such a pleasure having him on the show that I am proud to now give to you the podcast exclusive for our podcast listeners, Jalen and Jacoby interview of Inspector Deck. Here it is.
Let me teach the youth for a second. I remember being at the hip hop shop as a Detroiter. Y'all seen footage of it in 8 Mile. And the first time I heard Protect Your Neck, that tape, I'll never forget just thinking, I have never heard rap music like this. And just think about what we just said. There are so many members of the Wu-Tang Clan that have already been a part of Versus Battles. Just think about that for a second. That's all-time greatness. So can you explain for those that don't know why the Wu-Tang Clan was not only the most original group of all time, but the greatest?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of factors that play into that, but it's more of a, we come from a unique part of New York that was kind of isolated and off to the side, you know what I mean? So when we did our thing, a lot of people didn't really understand our slang and really didn't know what we was talking about, but it was different. It was different from the rest of the city. So I think that caught a lot of people. And then the fact that we got 9 members and each one of our members kind of represents somebody in your crew or your family or somebody you know. And I think that helped us like reach out and identify and kind of spread out. You know, people kind of caught on to us. Because remember, we didn't even have, we didn't show our faces on the first albums or anything like that. You know, we was just coming out, yo, whoever want to rhyme, whoever want it, man, we going to bring it to you. And, you know, that was the mentality at that time. And that was the era at that time where, you know, Mortal Kombat, we was in verbal combat, you know, in the early days of hip hop. So you had to be nice, you had to write your own stuff. And, you know, we had so many different styles, like this soup going on, you know? And I think that is what played a part, because, you know, we got people in Korea quoting my lyrics right now, you know? You can't speak a word Wu-Tang. English, so.
The new Wu-Tang name rings around the world generation to generation, and so much so that you're at a point in your career where you're still coming out with dope music like Battle Scars and Czar Face and the stuff you're doing with the Wu members. But at the same time, they've got a scripted series about sort of how you guys came up. There's documentaries about how you guys came up. How does it feel to be sort of celebrated like a Hall of Famer legend at the same time we're still putting out with new music?
Yeah, it feels good, man. It feels good, especially where we came from and then where music is at now. There's a huge leap that happens, you know what I'm saying? So to still be relevant and still have an opportunity in these days, as you know, I'm pushing 51 this year, man. You know, I'm trying to take care of myself and eat better, but you know, to be there and like you said, just to be popping up on verses here and here back to back with a chance to do my own verses, that's big. It's major. It shows you that, you know, it's bigger than Nino Brown, man. It's big business, you know? And I'm just glad to be a part of it.
I know how serious you guys take this rap game. And Method Man was asked his top 5 MCs. He made sure that you were mentioned. So I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Can someone be considered a top all-time MC that doesn't write their own rhymes?
No. When it comes to MC, no. Performer, you can be an all-time performer, you know, and a star and have ghostwriters. Because most of a lot of the top people have some sort of teams or assistance and whether it's thoughts or energy, whatever it is, participation in that song being a top song to make you, push you. But as far as an MC is something that's more personal. That's like, that's you flexing your skill, flexing your might. So I wouldn't feel right if I know it's like, yo, I'm doing a battle, I'm doing a versus, and somebody wrote half of that, you know, or wrote majority of it. So, you know, for MC, that's coming up in my era, it was against the law to have a ghostwriter or have somebody write your things. But if you're, you know, somebody that's on top, you're getting the number one songs, number one slots every week, you know, it's acceptable to have that.
Well, I'm glad you brought up sort of the energy of being in the studio with other people, because we had RZA on, and when you watch the documentaries and the scripted series, sort of, you get the idea that RZA's kind of like the point guard of the Wu-Tang Clan, you know, distributing the ball and having people come in and out. What was his influence over this group that had so many different characters in it?
Oh, man. Yo, RZA is an amazing dude in itself, man. Like, he saw a lot ahead of time. Like, he saw that we had potential to be together rather than being out there separate. He saw that Ray and Ghost sounded good together. He saw certain things, and, you know, Dak, you sound good leading off the track. We're gonna put you first and then have this guy come behind you. And then the beat you rhymed to 9 out of 10 wasn't even the finished product beat. So when you hear what he's done after you said your rhyme, it's like, yo, that wasn't even the beat, and then he's got this going over there. He might have a singing hook, his karate chops, and you know, that was all unique to me, because, you know, I grew up off of the Biz Markies and the Big Daddy Canes and the Coogee Raps and things like that. We can go back to the Sugar Hill Gang and all that too, but you know, just hearing that type of style of music, nobody was doing that at all. So, you know, you listen to our first album, RZA, he left the mistakes in there. You can hear the reel-to-reel queuing up and things of that nature. You know, a lot of those sounds he had, he was banging on buckets and putting a spoon to the glass. And, you know, he was very creative doing what we did, because we didn't have much, you know. Like, he didn't have this huge studio going on. We had a 8-track player and a couple of records, you know. And I watched that dude just MacGyver. Black MacGyver. I watched him just MacGyver everything, and, you know. And his drive kind of inspired everybody, because, you know, you got 9 of us, everybody was doing their thing. You got street dudes over here, you got dudes trying to go to school, so everything is going on. But he was the energy that kept everybody together, because no matter what, he would have that beat going. He would have some thoughts like, yo, you could spit this or you could do that, and, you know, this would be the hook. And, you know, he always kept that energy going, so it was always fun to come down to his house. And one day he put that contract in front of us, like, yo, you know, we got opportunity to make a record, who's down? And, you know, at that time, my life, you know, I'm two-time felon, I'm running from the police, I'm doing all types of things. So I'm like, you know what, let me try my hand, you know? And it turned out to be the best decision I made in my life, you know?
Well, that decision is one of the best in our lives too, because each of you are special in your own unique way. And I appreciate you saying the 9 members represent somebody from your crew, your family, your friend. And as you were saying that, I was thinking back, and that's right. Because in my crew, each of us played a different member of the Wu-Tang Clan. That's crazy. Yeah. So who are some of the groups that currently inspire you or that you listen to, since groups aren't as prevalent in the game as they used to be?
Yeah, there's not a lot of groups going on, man. Everybody is trying to get out there and do their own thing. But, you know, my favorite, bro, like, I listen to anything Lox and D-Block. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen to anything Dipset, you know, Mobb Deep. You know, it's just something there. It's like, no matter what it is, man.
Welcome home, Griselda. Welcome home,
Griselda. Yeah, but I can't forget Griselda. Those are some of my favorites, like, right now, today, out of the new crop of cats or whatever. Even though they ain't that new, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's Griselda for sure. Benny, man, Benny's dope. Conway's dope. Conway hooked me up, did a verse on my Czarface project way back before anybody really, you know, the diehards knew, but the public didn't really know about him at that time. And he did us a real solid, man. So shout out to Conway for that. And yeah, man, them brothers is keeping the torch alive, you know?
So just so you know, we had Conway the Machine on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Method Man is featured on the show every day in a segment called Keep It Moving. Benny the Butcher is our Buffalo Bills correspondent. So I figure there is no reason that we can't get a Griselda and Inspect the Deck and or Wu-Tang collab happening immediately. What are your thoughts on making this happen?
Now, I might get in trouble for this, but there's something in the works, man. There's a Wu-Tang Griselda something going on right now. Low-key, though, low-key.
Yeah!
Those segments that you get on Jalen and Jacoby now.
It's only right.
Inspect the Deck. We obviously right now, New York is obsessed with the Nets and the Knicks. That's mainly because the two football teams are kind of trash. Now, I know you're a Giants fan. Where are your expectations for the Giants this season?
Man, just getting the playoffs. I think that I was kind of upset watching that draft and seeing what the kind of moves they made, you know, trading up picks to get. But then again, it makes sense because we had some players. We did. It's not like we were lacking a whole lot. I think we need some defensive players for sure. But to see how this year goes, like let's say we go this year, Saquon back and everything is but you know, Danny ain't getting it done, you know, and things of that nature. Or, you know, Saquon is taking his time and he's coming slowly back in. So, you know, I like Gallman. I'm not sure if Gallman's still there, but you know, to give him a break. Danny had to throw a lot without Saquon. So, you know, it's to the point now where, okay, can Saquon take a load off of Danny so Danny could do his thing, you know? And if that don't work out, we got a couple of, you know, first, second, third round picks next year to kind of make those adjustments. So I think that was good. I didn't agree at first, but, you know, we need that.
Inspect the Deck, Rebel INS. You are a legend. We definitely appreciate you joining us. Please tell our audience where they can support whatever you got going on right now.
Hey, man, y'all can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, INS_TAGRAMS. You know, Inspect the Deck Wu on Twitter, Rebellion 2020 on Facebook, man. And just look forward for the new project I got coming out, The Ballad of City Slick. You know, it's just a nice little project I got coming out, trying to speak to the youth right now, you know, letting them know, like, you know, I've been there, you know, trying to share some stories and shed some light for them, you know. And other than that, man, you know, I'm dipping my hands in marijuana products and things of that nature. So a lot of things are coming soon. And y'all could always go down to inspectdeck.world and cop yourself a nice Rebel INS hat or hoodie. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have a nice package for y'all, too, man. I'm going to send y'all something nice for allowing
that's
brother to come
love.
Through.
That's know? Love, brother. Come back anytime to kick it with us. This is your home. This is your parking spot. Anytime.
Guaranteed. I appreciate y'all brothers, man.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you so much.
Love.
All right. Thank you.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, before we move on, I want to mention something. As the NBA season winds down, be sure to follow all of ESPN's NBA podcast offerings. In addition to this one, there's the Woj Pod, the Low Post, and the Hoop Collective. You can find them all wherever you get your podcasts. I want to thank Inspector Deck for coming out. He wasn't supposed to say that Wu-Tang and Griselda were going to have a collaboration. You can tell.
And how about this? We weren't supposed to highlight it, clip it, and still run with it, even though he said that we shouldn't.
Well, hey, man. He knows what he's doing.
He said it. Exactly. He knows what he's doing.
Sometimes you start going down that path, and you're like, I shouldn't say this, but I'm like, no, Jay, you really shouldn't. I got kids to feed. Whatever you're about to say, do not say. And that's why we always give the rawest content here on the podcast exclusive. Appreciate you guys listening to it. Now, Jalen, I want to talk to you about someone who is absolutely getting it done. And I don't highlight this person because I feel loyalty towards two other rookies, LaMelo Ball and Facu Campazzo. But Anthony Edwards has been given the keys to the car in Minnesota. And I understand if you're not watching a lot of Minnesota games on League Pass, but Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are really looking good. And Anthony Edwards went up against Ja Morant. Edwards had 42 points. 42 points. So, Jalen, what do you think about his sort of odd evolution this rookie season?
I just think it's what happens when you join a lottery team.
Mm-hmm.
There are clearly a lot of things that has gone on in that organization to put them in position to have that top pick. So you now have that top pick, and you hope it becomes a game-changing player. And I'm happy to acknowledge Anthony Edwards, Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, your guy Campazzo, my guy Halliburton. I know I'm going to forget some people quickly with the Knicks.
Yeah, Maxey. Okoro's playing well. You know, there's some players in this draft. Precious Achiuwa.
Maxey, absolutely. And so I'm really impressed with this rookie class, period. As it relates to Anthony Edwards, what you're now seeing is the reason why he went number one. Because basketball is definitely a big man's game, a large man's game. However, wing players usually define a team's greatness in a lot of ways because they're required, almost like defensive backs, to not only be great athletes and have to cover, but also required to have great hands. It's the same thing with like a wing. If you notice, look at all of the like the all-time great teams, they usually have like one or two guys that are like between like 6'8 and 6'9, 6'6 and 6'9. Because those guys can play in the backcourt, those guys can play in the front court, those guys can score facing the basket, play with their back to the basket, play in the half court, play in the transition. They just become Swiss Army knives. And this guy's a physical specimen. Like his height, his build, his athleticism, and his confidence irrationally. I love it so much. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell him right now that he's not better than LeBron James. He will argue you up and down. You cannot tell him that. And based on all of those factors and me knowing where he's from in the A, he's just going to continue to get better. And the sky's the limit for him. And again, I mentioned to you, Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell are besties. They're going to have a top pick potentially. That top pick is going to also probably play guard. So now do you trade Karl Anthony Towns' best friend in order to build around him and Anthony Edwards? That's a conversation they're going to have with Kat when the season ends. Stay tuned.
The lottery night's going to be really interesting for this franchise because if they get a first, second, third, fourth pick, it goes to the Warriors, which is another interesting thing because you look at James Wiseman with the Warriors and he's on a successful team with a successful system that's won championships. So he doesn't get the keys to the car. But Anthony Edwards, I'm sorry, Timberwolves fans, but y'all not making the playoffs. And that was evident early on. So they've sort of like went into development mode and they've let Anthony Edwards grow and make mistakes. And I think that's a really good opportunity for him to get drafted by a lottery team, play on a team your first year that doesn't have playoff aspirations, and then you can just kind of cook and find your way in the league. And he's absolutely getting it done. And this segment about people that get it done is brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, back 24/7 support and access to product experts. You can call Grainger. You can go to Grainger.com/Jacoby, or you can stop by one of the many Ranger locations. Now, Jalen, we talked about this on the pod. It was like a rumor a few weeks ago that some Pacers players were a little bit unhappy, and then you just straight up went on wax and said that they're going to fire their coach Bjorngren. And you saw what I saw yesterday at a home loss to the Kings. Now, the Pacers have something to play for. Like, they're jockeying for playing tournament position, playoff position, whatever it is. They're playing for something. They lost at home to the Kings. And explain what happened between their coach Frost and the player.
Rest in peace to my uncle Paramore Hicks Jr. Have mine, will create. That was his slogan when he did his art pieces. And he used to always say, when I tell you the chicken lay eggs, get the skillet hot. And so let me dig back into the Indiana part of this. I just want everybody to know something. When you play college basketball, physically play, like I did at the University of Michigan, and when you physically played in the NBA, and when you played on multiple teams, let me tell you guys something about relationships. The sky's the limit of the people I can tap into on every level about every team. So when I tell you something about the Seattle Seahawks, you don't know if it comes from a media relations person, a trainer, a doctor, a coach, a player, somebody in management. Like, there's so many ways to get this information from people who are around the team on the day-to-day. And so in order to protect those relationships, I need to be Tom Brady with the phone versus trying to be at the bottom of the tick. Because those people don't want me sharing with my company where I got that information from, because a lot of times they don't want that to come back to them. So in protecting the integrity of relationships, a lot of times pro athletes that now turn to media, or former collegiate athletes that now turn to media, I hate to tell you guys, but a lot of times we're only saying 25 to 50% of what we actually know. That's why players see me on TV and hear my podcast, and I've been doing this 20 years, and don't necessarily get upset at me, because they know I'm saying a fraction of what I really could be saying. For example, I was doing this job while I played in the league. Clearly, I was doing it once I retired. If I go on TV and I say the Phoenix Suns played bad in Atlanta last night, that's stating the obvious. If I get into the box score and start talking about one of the players' points, rebounds, and assists, he can't take it personal because those are facts. But you know what else the person also appreciates? That I didn't say where he was last night. Especially if he knows I know. Or, you ready for this? If I saw him out. How about that, Jacoby? How many times have you seen professional athletes out the night before a game?
A couple times, but not many.
Way to plead the fifth. And so with the Indiana Pacers, last night what we saw is basically an exclamation point to the conversation we had on this show about the frustration around the organization, coaches, staff, players, with the Pacers underachieving. In particular, when you have players that I really like, Sabonis, Brogdon, and LeVert. Like, I really like them. On paper, they should be better than the Hornets. On paper, the Pacers should be better than the Hornets. And by the way, shout out to Coach JB of the Hornets. You know what? I'm going to get him on the show. You want to get Melo's coach on the show? That's what we should do. Let's get Melo's coach on the
show. Coach Burago?
Yeah, let's get him on the show. Because I keep giving him love, and I don't want it to be a backhanded thing. It's because each one of those guys that get in the game have a purpose. I was watching it up close. And also what I saw last night on television is that the Pacers head coach got into an argument with the assistant coach during a basketball game.
It was the assistant coach going after a player, and then Bjorken came in as a peacemaker. But it is a testament to an example, a microcosm of just the general discord and unhappiness that is around this franchise, which could play themselves into the playoffs and maybe into the second round. They wouldn't be favored to, but it could happen.
It could. And so it just further heightens our discussion. And then, you know, when I slept good, when I saw Woj reported, I slept good. Because you do this job, man. People listen to this stuff, Jacoby. You know I have people hitting me about what I said. You know how this works. You know what I'm saying? You know how this works. And so I slept good that night when a professional leader, my brother, Woj, who's the best of the best at doing what he do, when he said, then I'm like, yep, thank y'all. Just like when Trey Lance gets drafted, I text somebody from the 49ers organization, two words, good looking. Because I remember there was a time when people were like, well, they're going to take Mac Jones. Mac Jones. Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. Who? Mac
Jones. And Jacoby and I purposely took our show to put his picture and Tom Brady's up together from draft time. And we said at least he's getting compared to the GOAT. He's getting compared to the GOAT. That's really good. So it's no surprise he ends up with Belichick. He landed where he should land. But I'm glad you brought up the Pacers thing. And it doesn't help when Nate McMillan is doing what he's doing with the Hawks.
No.
It does not help. Because he got fired out of the bubble when we thought the team was doing well. And it seems like something must have happened that we didn't know about. Because we knew he was doing a good job. And we knew that they weren't replacing him with somebody better.
Doug, when you see the Pacers lost to the Heat at home, the Pacers have something to play for. The Kings at home. The Kings do not. You look at you must think, oh man, De'Aaron Fox must have gone off. Halliburton must have hit a bunch of threes. Nope, they were both out. They were both out. Losing to the Kings at home, that's a big deal. I think that, you know, the obvious is right there. They're gonna have a new head coach. We'll see who that is. But Jalen, I have something I need to tell you. I don't know if you have this news. Are you sitting down?
I am.
I have some news about your Detroit Lions, Mr. Rose. Second round pick from 2 years ago. Again, 2 years ago, second round pick. That's someone who should be contributing on the field. Someone who should be
absolutely
a mainstay of what you're doing as a team.
An extension.
It's not the rookie year. It's a second round pick. And they got a bunch of chance to prove who they were on the field. And the news today is Kerryon Johnson is no longer with the Detroit Lions.
No longer
with the Lions. Carry off, so, Johnson.
Wow. And so I highlighted this problem. And by the way, I don't have to just be an owner with the Pistons. Like, I need to try to get into the ownership group of the Lions now. That's what I need to start focusing on. Because, like, so let me get this right. We draft running backs in back-to-back years or 2 out of 3 years. And then last year, both of those guys are sharing carries with Adrian Peterson, the oldest back in the NFL. That just lets you know that there's no rhyme or reason to what we're doing. Last year, we had a chance to get a quarterback. Matthew Stafford didn't age much between last draft and this draft. Nothing changed, except we just paid him top dollar for a single-digit win season last year. That's just what we did. We could have drafted a quarterback last year. So now if you listen to Jalen Rose as a part of the Lions ownership, if you take Tua, if you take Justin Herbert, if you just take a quarterback, last year, you know what you could have did this year, Jacoby? Let me tell you what you could have did. You could have drafted a freaking offensive lineman to protect them. That's what you could have did. Oh, wait. We drafted one. And what is going to happen with our season and our great future Hall of Fame offensive lineman, Jacoby? What am I going to be seeing every Sunday when my team plays?
Oh, Jay, I got to get you off them. Okay, maybe you shouldn't watch them every Sunday for your own mental health. Mental health is really important. You know what I mean? And maybe you should just move on.
I got to give my David Jacoby-ism. You said that my current quarterback is at least going to have another second and a half to throw the ball.
Yep, that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, oh, good. Now he's got another half second before he throws an incompletion. Good for Jared Goff. I'm glad Penei Sewell's in there. Nah. Now he can get to his third read before he throws an incompletion or an interception. We got to move on from the Lions, Mr. Rose, because once you get started on the Lions, you don't stop. Couple quick things before we get to our voicemails, which you always want to get to on the podcast exclusive.
Oh, one other thing, family, and it relates to our comedy bracket. I have another Detroiter that's a diehard fan. His name is Ha Ha Davis. He has a crazy following. He's extremely funny. We should bring him on to not only talk about the Lions, but he'll help us with our comedy bracket as well.
Let's send him the comedy bracket because we got to lock that in. We gotta get Pat Gunther on the job.
Okay, cool.
We gotta lock that in.
He said he'll help us out.
Okay. Couple quick hits. Kendrick Lamar's teasing some new music. That's a big deal.
That's a major
Jay-Z says he regrets making the song Big Pimpin', which I find interesting. Let's talk about that for a second.
Ooh, this is controversial. Walt. Go ahead.
He says he regrets Big Pimpin'. Yet, if you look through his whole catalog, person he is today was not always the person that he was, and that's reflected in his lyrics. So I find it interesting that he picked this one spot, this one song, which he only has one verse on, is to be something he regrets when he has similar transgressions and creates a similar persona and ethos and character for many songs that he had, especially early in his career. What do you think?
I think this is controversial, and I know way too much about rap music. Man, rest in peace, Pimp C. Because you ready for this? He didn't want to do this song with Jay-Z either. He and Bun B disagreed about this record. They were underground, deep, deep south, and he didn't want to alienate his audience by teaming with Jay-Z to do this record where they were on boats, spraying champagne, and this subject matter. This was before the song even got recorded. Jay-Z sent the record to them to participate on the song, and Pimp C did not want to do it. And so Bun B convinced him why he should do it. They end up doing it, and it becomes the biggest record in their careers chart-wise. They already had the crazy fan base. I was one of those fans. Along with A-Ball and MJG, they were like underground lords almost. And so to fast forward and hear Jay now say it, it kind of validates for me what Pimp C felt then, number one. Number two, I think this song, when he thinks about the song and you look at the video of this song, I think this highlighted some of the things that he didn't like about him and Dame's relationship. Because if you look at that, it's one of those all in the videos type of videos. And so Lastly, he's also in his 50s. And you know what happens when you get a little bit older? You look back at some of the decisions that you made when you were younger and you started to have a wife, you started to have kids, and you started to have a management company like Roc Nation, and you become a billionaire. You just look back at your history and you think back to all of the things that you wish you would have said or done different. This is just one of them, that's all.
Yeah. And I get it. I think it's more that, you like you said, the Dame relationship, where he was in his career, not necessarily the lyrics so much, because there's a lot of violence and a lot of drug use and sales on a lot of his tracks. And it's just interesting for him to sort of pick this one to point out that situation. And Jalen, I have some important news that can only be discussed in the podcast. There's been a study that's been done, and they say that the larger your nose is, there's a correlation with the size of your genitalia, your male genitalia. Mr. Rose, now that you have this information, how do you feel about your nose?
I feel I'm glad that this has made itself to mainstream America. Black people have been feeling like this with our nose and body parts since the beginning of time. Welcome to 2021.
Okay, now before we really get canceled, we're going to go to the phones. If you call 985-80-JALEN, 985-80-JALEN, 985-80 Jalen, give us a call. You know, I went to the Starbucks, and big shout to Charlie, the barista, says he listens to the show every day. Charlie, if you listen to the show every day, call 985-80 Jalen. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this.
Shout out, Reg. This question is for both Jalen and Jacoby. This is Derek from Chicago. It's a power couple question right now. My lovely wife and I are expecting our first born, and we are struggling with names. And Jalen, I know you have lovely daughters, and Jacoby, you got your crew. The name selection is an issue for us because her grandmother, who is no longer with us, on her deathbed, asked for our daughter to be named after her. Now, her name was Alfreda. I haven't met an Alfreda that was born after 1960. So we like go to her middle name. Her middle name is Rose, just like Jalen's last name. But the issue is our last name is Rhodes, like a Rhodes Scholar, R-H-O-D-E-S. So we can't name a Rose Rhodes, it would just be too confusing. So what should we do? How do we honor her late grandmother and also give her a dope name? Thank you all for all y'all do. Keep it pushing.
Derek from Chicago, I love this one. What a conundrum. I love deathbed wishes. You know what I mean? I just like the idea. She's just like in her last breath. She's like, you know, you can name your kid after me. Like you real hogtied to it. There's nothing you can do. You can't get out of it. You're going to pick whatever name you want for the first name. Alfreda's going to be the middle name. And your daughter's going to have to live with having Alfreda as a middle name. It's fine. Or you can just make Rose the middle name. I'll do that. So it'll be like, you know, Sarah Rose Rhodes. Because no one really says the middle name that much. And Rose Rhodes ain't that bad. I kind of like that flow. But what I would say is you're just gonna, she's just going to have to eat a middle name that's not necessarily your choice. Because I got, you know, we kind of messed up the middle names on my kids. No one really pays that much attention. So I would come up with your own first name, Alfreda or Rose as the middle name. And then obviously Rhodes is the last name. That's my advice. Mr. Rose, your advice.
Luckily for you, somebody's on this show that's most known in operating rooms and barbershops. I got you. We got you. You're at the right place at the right time. Take a deep breath. This is going to be the answer to all of your questions. This is going to keep everyone happy. And I'll use a personal example for you to validate it. My youngest daughter has a nickname. Gracie is her nickname. Mariah, my oldest daughter, her middle name is Christian. So me and their mom wanted both of them to have some sort of biblical name attached to their names. So my oldest daughter is Mariah Christian Rose. My youngest daughter, who's now 15, was going to be Sophia Grace Rose. However, when she was about to be born, we looked around the room and realized something. Her mom is named Jean. My mother's name is Jeannie. So they looked at us and said, you ain't getting off this bed unless that baby got one of our names.
That's cultural, but continue.
You know, you ain't getting off this bed. We see that y'all want to name the baby Sophia Grace Rose, and congratulations, it's a beautiful name. But you ain't getting off that bed without Jean being represented in that name. So we added Jeannie to the front of it. So now her name is Jeannie Sophia Grace Rose. And in typical cultural fashion, we don't call her any of those four things. We call her Grace.
You went 0-4.
We don't call her any of those four things. She goes by Gracie. So here's your solution. What was his grandma's first name or her grandma's first
Alfreda,
name again?
Alfreda Rose was her middle name.
Okay, so here's your answer. Jalen Alfreda Rose. That's your answer.
Yeah.
Jalen is Alfreda cool.
And don't, we try to, I got a personal story about this too. Because I messed up my son's middle name. And Clara Williams was born Clara Johnson, and that is my wife's grandmother who passed during COVID. And she was getting up there in age when we had our son Quincy. So Quincy now is 8. Grandma would have been like 94 or 95. So she was living it with us. She was getting up in age. It was clear that, you know, she was in the ninth inning. So when we had our son, we're like, well, we want to put in something for grandma. So his name is Quincy. So we made his middle name Jay, J-A-Y. We try to get cute because she used to be called CJ. So it's Quincy J. Jacoby. We put a CJ in there, right? We went to Clara and showed her this information. We're like, oh, we put your name in his name, Quincy J. Jacoby. See the CJ? She looked at us like we had just taken all the money out of her wallet. She looked at us like, you didn't name that child after me. I don't see any of my names in there. She's like, you try to sneak my name in the back door by bridging it between two other names. She was just like, no. She's like, what is this? It was almost like she ordered a burger and we gave her like exactly. a salad. Right.
Like, she hold on. Like, wait. Am I going to be getting up with him tomorrow morning? Let's just make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah. You know, she's just like, huh? You didn't name that kid after me. So be careful. Don't try to half step it, Derek. Just eat it, man. Alfreda is going to be the middle name. Just do it.
Yep.
Deathbed wishes need to be there. Listened to.
We agree there. And Jalen Rhodes ain't bad. Jalen Rhodes ain't bad.
Jalen Rhodes is too close to Jalen Rose. You can't do Jalen Rhodes.
I believe you can. How about this? With all of the variations of Jalen, yes, you can. There's Jadens. There's all types of variations of spelling with a Y, with an I. Yes, you can. It's a unisex name. Girls are named Jalen. You got to balance off Alfreda, dog. Let me just be real. You got to balance that off.
Alfreda. Okay. There's not a lot of Alfredas out there in the world.
You need that double shot chill, dog. You know what I'm saying?
What about Frida? Can we do Frida? Does that work?
No, you know
that's trying to half step it like that. I did. See, we try to get cute too.
Yeah,
you
try, grandma not
like Freedom. Her name is Alfreda, so Freedom is her middle name. Like, no, no.
That's half step.
That's what I did. That's what I did. We got time for one more voicemail on our podcast exclusive.
Yo, yo, yo. Shout out, Reg. What up, Jalen Jacoby? It's Xavier from 602 in Phoenix. I kind of got a big-time question for you guys. You know, I'm a big-time listener, you know, for about a couple of years now. Me and my homie share a birthday in July, and he's been dating this girl for about a couple months now, and I have a big-time question for you. So he's deciding to celebrate his birthday in, like, June 14th. Way, way earlier than our birthday, right? And we usually celebrate our birthday on the same day, but this new lady decided to pack his birthday and take him up to Laughlin to go do it early. I wanted to call and ask, soft move or boss move, letting your lady pick your birthday within like a couple, 4 months of your dating span, you know? I understand, you know, you guys might be in love and stuff, but I need to know. Am I jealous or what? Is this wrong with me? You guys decide. Give me that.
Well, I have thoughts on this, Mr. Rhodes. Number one, Xavier, don't have to tell me. He's definitely looks a lot more like you than me because we don't spread birthdays out over 6-7 weeks. You know what I mean? That's cultural. Shout out to Xavier. I love this call so much. So, Xavier, you kind of answered your own question at the end there because just because he went on vacation June 14th for his mid-July birthday, which is wild to me, by the way, that's a full like 8% of the year away from your birthday. That like, so 6 weeks before your birthday, you're going to have a birthday weekend. Shout to this new girlfriend in his life. But you kind of feel like, hey, we used to have this tradition where every year, you know, we had our birthdays together. That was something we did every year. And now this new girl comes in and he's all, you know, they're in the newlywed phase. So he's doing whatever she says. And she decided they're going to celebrate their birthday this time. Here's the thing, Xavier. You are a little jealous. There's no reason that he can't have a birthday with her in June and you have your birthday with him in July. There's no reason that those things can't both happen. So that's my advice is don't be jealous. Celebrate him, support him in his new relationship while they go off and celebrate his birthday 6 weeks before his birthday. And then when the time really comes around, it's time for you two to have that traditional dude birthday party. Your thoughts, Mr. Rowe?
You hear me snap my fingers? Fellas, there's a jealous girl in our town. Oh, baby. You know about that from the Boston area. Shout to New Edition. You was in Massachusetts, and when you was listening to New Kids on the Block, that's what I was listening to. Let me tell you something, dog. If you don't let your dog enjoy his new girlfriend celebrating him any day, what are you saying? You gotta let him get the newlywed, the new car smell type of attention. Do you know how relationships work? Let me tell you something. Father's Day, I don't get treated like my kid's mom get treated on Mother's Day. And you know why? Because I didn't carry them for 9 months. It's just not the same. It is just not the same. And your guy gets celebrated and you get a little jealous because it's not on the day that y'all used to do it, when y'all can still get together and do it on any day. And let me tell you something about symmetry and why I love this show, why I love our callers. And thank you for your voicemail. Thank everybody for their voicemails. Let's start challenging callers to introduce somebody to the show, introduce somebody to the voicemail. I'll send you a hoodie. Let me tell you something. He said June 14th. I just told you a story about my youngest daughter, Jeannie Sophia Grace Rose. Just so you know, her birthday is June 14th. I cannot make this up. It's 365 days in a year. Her birthday is June 14th. So I say that to say what we're telling you is exactly right. Let him enjoy his birthday with his new girlfriend, and then y'all kick it anytime, anywhere, any day. That's my thoughts.
Jalen, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I want to thank Inspector Deck for coming through. We're gonna, you know what? Before we're done with this show, we're going to have every single member of the Wu-Tang on. Every single one. You got all that. And tomorrow...
For real, though. That'll be legendary.
We have another episode coming at you. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. It's no us without you. We are not done.